We're almost done with getting dressed, so isn't that nice? All right. So now we're at the shield of faith. So this is Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There's a lot in there. Now, the shield and the belt are linked. There's a clip that held on the belt the shield when that was not in use. So when they would walk, there was this little clip right there on the belt that they could hook their shield on so that they don't have to carry it. It would just be on the side. What do you remember about the belt of truth? What's truth? The word, right? So the word of God, the Bible, is attached to your faith. God's word and your faith are inseparable. You get out of God's word and your faith starts to dwindle. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There you've got faith and the word of God, both in the same verse. Okay, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, there's two kinds of shields that were used. There was one that was a public one for parades, and the one that was a private one that was used in battle. So I had to make one, because the little one that we have here is really more the public one, the decorative one. Okay? So here's the public one. It was decorative. It had etchings and engravings on it. It was small, and it was not to be used in combat. They just had it for parades when they would march through and they defeated a country or whatever, and they would march along and they would have this shield. It was small. How many in the church have their shield for display only? Faith is all talk, but it can't hold up in the battle. And it looks pretty, right? Decorative. Favorite etchings or, you know, famous battles from the past. But faith has to be for now. Okay? So you got a decorative one that looks like that. Then you have one that really looks plain. So I made one out of our shooting targets that we have. So the private one was, the word that they had in the Greek was for door. And it was wide and long and completely covered the soldier. So I made it, you know, it looks like a human person. And if we had Stephen here, he could probably stand behind it and it would cover him. But that's what it was like. Okay, that's the private one. And it looks like the door. So Romans 12:3, God has given to each a measure of faith. We even talked about that when we prayed today. God has given to each a measure of faith. It's enough to cover you. That's your measure of faith. And a lot of people go, how come I don't have so-and-so's faith? You don't. If you want so-and-so's faith, do you want so-and-so's calling? Do you want so-and-so's, you know, ministry? Think twice before you ask for somebody else's stuff. But that's what that means, is that God has given to each a measure of faith, a shield that fits you just perfectly. So this shield was not fancy. It was very plain. It was made of multiple layers of thick animal hide. It was tightly woven together. There was usually about 6 layers of animal hide. Tough and durable. So what's the application for this shield? Instead of being fancy looking and all showy, this faith needed to be durable, tough, and long lasting. And that's the kind of shield that Paul talks about in this verse. It's this shield. It's not the decorative shield. So there was also care for the shield daily. Okay, so when the soldier got up, now we have a son that is going through boot camp, okay? He is going through the academy for police. And his first week was quite eye-opening. And there's things that they have to do every day because the police are paramilitary. Well, it's the same thing with the soldier. The soldier, they had the daily maintenance of that shield, and this is what they had to do. They had to oil it every day and rub into the leather the oil to make it soft and supple and pliable. If they ignored this, the shield would get hard and crack and ultimately fall to pieces. Okay? So here's another application. You have all these applications with this. What does the oil represent in Scripture? Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit oil this thing up. Oil your faith up. Because faith gets hard and brittle and stiff. And in confrontation, it breaks in the midst of battle. So, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times where I'll try to live on past experiences and not develop a fresh faith for new situations. Like, well, I prayed about that years ago, or, you know, that was good for then, but now we're 10 years later. It's like playing tennis, okay? Yesterday, when I'm playing tennis, it's like I should be able to get that shot that Rachel just put over the net, and my feet wouldn't move. And I'm like, why? You know, inside, I'm in some ways similar inside, but my outside's not the same. And I couldn't get there. And I thought, you know, I try to live on past experiences. Rachel's like, Dad, just relax. You know, I says, I know. I am 56. I am not 25 anymore. And you try to live on past experiences like faith instead of developing new, fresh faith for situations like exercise. You know, get some exercise. Keep doing this, and maybe you'll be able to get over there and get those shots like you did before. Another reason for the animal hides is prior to battle, they would soak the shield in water. Okay? Why? Well, we read here that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, extinguishing fiery darts and arrows of the enemy with Ephesians 5:26, the water of the word. Soak it in the word. There's another application with this. So you need to soak your faith in the word, the water of the word, the washing of the water of the word. Oil and water every day. Oil and water every day. So we need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be in the Word. And another application, and we've, how many times have we said this over all the years? The Word without the Spirit, you dry up. Right? Just read in the Word. You know, these pages, the written Word reveals the living Word. Okay? I understand if somebody sent you a letter and you go back and read it a number of times and everything, but what does a letter signify? It signifies the relationship behind the letter. Do you kiss the letter and stuff? I mean, some of you might do that. I don't know. It's like kissing the UPS driver after he delivers a package to you. You're happy for the package, right? So, the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. And boy, do we see this now, especially in the emergent church and some of the things that are going on to hype up spirituality and high-tech spirituality. And I may show you some DVDs of that just because you guys need to be aware of it. But the Spirit and the Word, you grow up. You need both. Okay? Now, it says above all or overall. It starts in the verse, above all. You know, sometimes we read through these words like above all and taking, but there's significance to these words. So above all means over all, everything out in front of all. That's what the word literally means, out in front of all, covering all. So faith out front covers the rest of you. That's what your shield is out front, okay? And then taking, that word taking means to take up something in your hand. Pick it up. If you can pick it up, you can also lay it down. right? Yay? Yeah, you can lay down your faith too. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, holding faith and a good conscience. Some have put away and become shipwrecked. Faith and a good conscience together. Well, I am going through this book on the Gospel according to Job because I'm using it for my class. And it's really good. It's been very cathartic for me to read it. And it's really a good it completes the other two texts that I'm using, but it's devotional. It's set up as a devotional. And basically, devotional is reading a book, praying through it. That's what devotionals are. But this is what it says about faith. Faith, that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. 1 Peter 1:7. It is not Job's wickedness, but his faithfulness that the Lord is disclosing through this ordeal. In fact, there may be nothing our God wants more than to bring each one of us to a point where he can do with us exactly what he did with Job, hand us over with perfect confidence into the clutches of Satan, knowing that even then our faith will hold. So God loves to see human beings standing up to Satan, answering him on his own turf, and finally defeating him with a word. The Lord is looking for people who can, by faith alone, stand in the midst of the fray, resisting not only the devil, but the world and their own flesh, and come out winning. Isn't that great? You know, we always wonder, why are we going through that? It's because he wants to develop your faith. He has everything under control. Tony had this cartoon long ago with Heathcliff, and, you know, Heathcliff the cat, right? And all of a sudden, there's this dog with a rope, right? And he's barking, 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 barking at Heathcliff, and all of a sudden, the rope breaks. And the dog looks astonished, and so does Heathcliff. And the dog goes back, ties the rope in a knot, and keeps barking. And that's Satan on a rope. It's like soap on a rope. You know, he can only go so far. Even in Job's case, you know what? You can't kill him. Okay? God has him on a rope. We are kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter 1:4 and 5. Now, there are three kinds of fiery darts. It says you're able to quench all the fiery darts. All? What does that mean? There's three kinds. The first one is plain arrows, like when we're, you know, using bow and arrows. They just had regular bow and arrows, okay? Just plain arrows. The second type were dipped in tar and set afire and then shot. Okay? If you remember the movie Braveheart, you know, they dipped it in tar and set it on fire. But the third one is what Paul has in mind when he's talking about this fiery darts. And what these were they were fluid-filled and they were combustible upon impact. They looked like the regular ones, but they had the shaft was filled with, you know, tar or oil or just some kind of combustible material. And those are the ones that burst into flames upon impact. Those are the ones that they were terrified of most of it. Why? Because they would be in an encampment. Right? And these arrows would come across and look like just regular arrows. And when they hit, they just burst into flame like a bomb. That's what he's talking about. He wants to, these need to be extinguished. So the application is what? What burns out of control sometimes? What do we lop on people and bomb them? Rage, unbelief, wrong attitudes, evil thoughts. We all allow an open door for them to pass through, and we've got fires, bad fires. So, faith will quench or thwart and extinguish anything that tries to hit you. So these darts of the wicked one were set up so that it would light everything on fire. It'd be like a bomb. And it says the darts of the wicked one. I love that word wicked. Dr. Bubeck taught us that about wicked. He'd always use the word wicked. Wicked, evil, pain, malignant, malicious, vicious, all those things. And the application is allegations penetrate your mind. They control. That's the control center, and it leads to destruction. I just worked with somebody the other day, and he's shucked and jive and shucked and jive and back and forth and back and forth. Well, hopefully he's going to be, about it and serious about it. But anyway, I worked with him with accusation because that's what comes out of his mouth. And usually what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And the things that you accuse other people of is what you're doing. And so we just pressed through and just did this accusation, went through the lesson and we went through the checklist. And it's amazing because Tony meets with the other half and it was like, it stopped. It actually stopped. It's been peaceful and quiet. And even him saying it's been peaceful and quiet up here. Because he doesn't nitpick and start. So all those allegations and all those things that, the mind is the control center. If the enemy gets your mind, he controls your whole body. Now, when soldiers were threatened with mass opposition, like there's an army coming at them, what they would do is they would walk close to one another and lock their shields. So they had a lock for the belt, but they also had a lock on the outside where they would lock their shield and look like a little tortoise. Okay? That way, if somebody was hurt or injured, the man would fall back into the middle of the circle and be protected. Okay? And then they would lock their shields again and made a wall of protection. What's the application? The corporate faith of the local church. Now, you need to assemble together. Why? What does it say? What does Hebrews say? Assemble together at, don't forsake the assembling together as is the habit of some, right? But encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. What's the day? The day of the Lord. Are we close to the day of the Lord? Oh, yeah. So would there be a propensity to not assemble and not lock our shields together? Yes, that's what he's saying. So we need to assemble as you see the day drawing near. And that makes a wall of protection. And that's where you lock your shields in, like we were praying today. Somebody else needs to borrow faith, borrow the faith, lock our shields and put that person in the middle and pray. Pray for them that their shield would be built up. So I wrote a couple stuff on the board here. And in conclusion, I just have a few questions here. Okay. One would be asking, has your faith become cracked, brittled, and stiff? It's not gotten watered. It's not been oiled, just like we talked about with those shields. And there's a Psalm 92:10. It says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, David said. You need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 92:10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And then, is Satan trying to steal your faith, or is the Lord trying to strengthen your faith? And, this is Jude 20. I didn't put it on there. You know, there are 24 verses there in Jude, so. Jude 20. And that's what it says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See how those two go together? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Okay, there's faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, needing the Holy Spirit and the anointing to rub into this shield of faith so that when trials come, when the battle is fierce, you're going to be pliable and you're going to be oiled up. Let me read another psalm here. Psalm 57:4. Kind of interesting. Psalm 57:4. Is it? Yeah, Psalm 57:4. It says, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire. Isn't that interesting? Whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. My soul is amongst lions. I lie amongst the sons of men, who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Listen, when you go out in the world, okay, the world is not a friendly place. The problem is, the church should be a friendly place. And as you read through, like Tony was talking about with Job, is these guys are trying to find some reason why this stuff is happening to Job. And Job is holding to his righteousness. And you see in the end, those three guys are in trouble with God because they misrepresented him. And those guys are going to be toast if Job didn't intercede for them. So we've got to be very careful, because most of the time, if you really realize this, those three friends were Job's church. That's his fellowship. And we should be anything but, let's see, what does this say? Teeth with spears and arrows and tongues with sharp swords and being set on fire and setting other people on fire? We do. We have to really watch it. And I'm not preaching to the choir. I know the same thing. So those two questions. Has your faith become cracked and brittle and stiff that you need a fresh anointing? And is Satan trying to steal your faith, or is the Lord trying to strengthen it through the things that you're going through? So build yourselves up in the most holy faith. And I know we don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit because we don't want to go woo-woo, but the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is the thing that gives you the strength. Remember, it says, stay in Jerusalem until the power from on high comes. That was the Holy Spirit. That is the power that you saw of those disciples who ran and left Jesus all by himself, and then all of a sudden they turned the world upside down. Right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit fell on them. They were praying and praying and praying, and then the Holy Spirit fell on them. So you need the Holy Spirit in your walk. Jesus is the only person to ever walk the Christian life, and he even was baptized by the Holy Spirit. So, okay? So there you go. There's the shield. A couple more pieces, and we'll all be fully dressed and ready to go. All right, why don't you put your Bibles aside, and we'll pray. And maybe, Michael, can you pass the baskets around today? And for tithes and offerings, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we all do have a shield of faith, and it is to the measure that you have given to us, to each one of us, a measure of that faith, and it's enough to cover us. And Lord, it's not fancy, but it's plain, and we want it to be durable and tough and long-lasting. We also, Lord, want it to be pliable, and we don't want to get hard and cracked and fall to pieces when we're in the midst of a battle. So we just really pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a fresh anointing with fresh oil. I don't think it's coincidence that we use oil when we pray for one another in here. And then also, Lord, I think sometimes we blame Satan for a lot of things. And really, it's our flesh that opens the door for things. But that I know he tries to steal our faith, but you're also strengthening our faith. You're putting us and allowing us to be in trials so that our faith is strengthened. You don't want to see us be consumed or be defeated. You want us to win. So, as we have talked about, all this armor is Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And so as we go along and we get dressed, Lord, help us to remember that we cannot do this in our own strength. We have to do it in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. In Jesus' name, amen.